Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Niccolò Comotti here, the 74th edition of the Venice Film Festival, and today I'm joined by John Alpert. Welcome.
Hi, Nico, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very happy to be in Venice at the festival.
The audience screening already took place?
No,
like,
it's
going to be tonight,
minutes.
Right?
Yeah. I'm sitting here like this because nobody's ever seen our film in public before. I think you might be one of the only people in the world that's ever seen it.
I've been one of the few, you know, like the snobby press, and they loved it, and I loved it too. I think it's like a wonderful piece of document because, I don't know, there's so many aspects and facets into this film. It's not just about the story of yourself or the cameraman, mm-hmm. but also it's the sort of the evolution and devolution of an ideology all throughout. And there's so many little hints of how to see this film. I just enjoy a lot of films that, like, they don't have any...
He's a very sophisticated viewer. This is good.
I think so.
Yes.
There you go. Now I lost my press.
These are things that I haven't even thought about, and I made the film. That's great.
Just write it down. Use it for your pleasure.
I've already had the press conference. It's too late. Gosh, we should have started here first at Fred. Yeah.
But I guess maybe the whole, you know, like, kind of like just shrinking the whole thing into one single thought is, mm-hmm. do you think you can make this kind of film into such a depth only if you shoot it for like more than 40-50 years? It's the only way to get to this kind of depth in a film.
You know, there's lots of different ways to make films. Mm. And I made a film in one day once. And then I didn't want the producers to know how quickly I made it, because they usually pay us to make a film over the year. And so I took the whole crew and I said, don't you tell them that we only worked on this for one day. But I think it's very important with a subject that I think has such importance, like mm-hmm. Cuba, and not only has importance for the Cuban people, but for people everywhere, because there was an astonishingly unique experiment that they undertook down there with very limited resources. And sometimes only by looking at the same thing over a long period of time can we really understand it. Listen, your high school girlfriend, when you fell in love with her, you fell in love with her like this, but if you spent the next 50 years with her, you'd have like a completely different feeling. So time is an important variable. And we were lucky enough that we were able to go there over these 50 years, and then we were really lucky that Netflix thought this was a great idea.
There's a kind of physical process as well as the audience while you watch this film, because I could not stop smiling throughout the first half of the film, and then you just literally started feeling almost like a pain in your cheeks, and slowly but surely it just goes down into like a very worried
Did you ever think I was going to win in arm wrestling? Because I lost every time.
That was a wonderful leitmotif. Yeah,
and I always lost.
But
when Lilo beat me and she was 88 years old, that was humiliating. That was terrible, but she sure beat me.
I guess it's just all the time carrying that heavy camera, but probably, you know, throughout the years it went a bit
It just
lighter.
Wore me out. I used to be like about 7 feet tall, but, you know, carrying those big cameras just kept pushing me down.
But tell me, what was your personal experience trying to, like, create this patchwork? You know, like, sitting on your desk, jotting down the ideas, how to structure everything, of course, putting the voiceover. So pretty much like reliving through your tapes what you felt, and, you know, seeing yourself as a young person, and then just like ending up, of course, in 2016. How was your like personal almost experience? It seems like a catharsis as well that you could live through.
Certainly there's an element of that. There was an element of discovery. I filmed a lot of these things many, many years ago. Yeah. There was a time in my life when I remembered every second of everything that I filmed in a sort of disturbingly photographic way. But if I ever filmed you or anybody here for more than 3 or 4 seconds, I would remember them. I'd remember their names. I'm old. I mean, you know, the timeline that affects the characters in the film affects me as well. Yeah. When Netflix came aboard, we got the resources to be able to go back into the vault and dig up a lot of these old tapes, many of which had deteriorated, mm-hmm. and to send them off to the laboratory to get them reconstituted and to be able to watch them again. So, for example, there's a scene in the film with the three peasants in which...
The Borregos.
Yeah, the Borregos, in which I ask for my wife to be able to taste the rum. I dragged my whole family around on this adventure with me. I had my 2-year-old daughter. I wanted her to be able to ride the goat. and I wanted to see who was stronger, me or these 70, 80-year-old peasants. I didn't know that that existed. And so it was pretty exciting to find a lot of this old material and to be able to use it for the film.
And tell me, what's your relationship now with Cuba? It's much more than just, you know, a place, I think, for you. There's something, you know, like you probably grew up with this as a person, as a man as well. You know, like that scene that really stuck in with me, you know, seeing those, you know, in Cuba, like crying for Fidel's passing, and you just see like a little Minnie Mouse kind of iPhone cover, you know, filming the parade. It's just like... Yeah,
what's going on here? Things really changed, and I was privileged to be a witness to this, and I was privileged that my friends in Cuba, ranging from the peasants to Fidel, trusted me and opened up their lives. So Cuba has been entwined with my life in many ways. It's not to say that it's the only thing I've done, but in general, I respect the people that I'm spending this much time with. I couldn't spend time with them if I didn't find them interesting as people and interesting in what they were doing. But we do this in a lot of our films. I followed a cowboy from South Dakota for 24 years. He's actually one of my best friends in the world, and I talk to him once a month on the phone. I didn't have the opportunity to do that with Fidel or with these characters because of the isolation of the two countries. I followed three criminals from Newark, New Jersey for 15 years of filming, and when two of them died, I'm still friendly with the one that's still alive. So I become personally close to the people that I film.
And your way of filmmaking as well, as you just pinpointed, like the concept of time, it's very warped. You know, there's something... The pace of the film itself is like almost an action thing, you know. Maybe it's because it's so engaging, and then of course you're reminded that the time is passing by the little numbers that appear, and maybe the wrinkles that appear, and also on the character's face. I just wonder the editing process. So especially for this project, are you a very graphic person also for the editing stage in filmmaking? So you just create your own, let's call it almost like a screenplay, so like a visual screenplay, or you just, you know, it's just time to like lock yourself up for 4 months and try to make something out of it?
I'm not a very well-organized person. I focus on a couple of simple things, but in terms of a very detailed plan... That's never been me. I'm very good at improvising. I mean, you put me into a challenging situation, especially people shooting at me and stuff like this, I'm going to figure out like what I need to do to survive, but also to be able to get the story and to be able to bring it. I'm very lucky that I had a really good team. Dave Meneses, the editor on this, speaks Spanish fluently. He comes originally from South America. My team also knows how to work with me and knows that I want to know what they think. You know, this film could be self-indulgent. You know, I wanted to make sure that I'm playing a role in it, but I'm not monopolizing the film. Every time I'm on camera, I go, and you know, I start to cringe. So it was the whole team's job to get this organized. And we went down many, many false paths in editing. Luckily, Netflix, you know what they said to me? They said, we want to help you realize your vision as an artist, and we want to give you the resources to be able to... Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine your producer saying, listen, Nico, anything you need to be able to do your job, whatever you want, you can have, right? People don't say that type of thing to independent filmmakers. That's crazy. So this was really helpful, and we had the time and the staff to be able to explore how to tell the story.
That's fantastic. Thanks very much,
John. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Thank you. Okay, bye, Fred.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.